Day weekend. Most of y'all probably know already that I'm a baseball fan. I really love baseball, right? And you may or may not have known, but I played baseball since I was like four. I played catcher. I played peewee baseball. I played little league. I played teener. I played on a traveling all-star team as catcher. I played Legion. I had a scholarship to play ball in Missouri. I had already delayed enlisted into the Air Force, and so I followed that commitment and graduated from high school when I was 17, went straight into the Air Force. But I still have this huge love for baseball, and honestly, I believe God does too, right? Because that's how he starts his love letter to us. I mean, Genesis chapter 1 in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning." Big inning. In the big inning. Anyway. I figured I'd get that response, so I was prepared. But I still remember vividly in 2012 watching the World Series. Will it do anything bad if I step in front?
No.
All right, well, let's do that. So I can see y'all. There. How's that? You can make sure it doesn't blow up on me? All right. He doesn't look too sharp. Oh, I don't have a volume. I'm on full bore all the time. I could whisper. But anyway, I still remember watching the 2012 World Series, Game 2. It was a Thursday night, and I remember the ceremonial first pitch thrown out by a triple amputee Marine who had lost both legs and his left arm by a roadside bomb in Afghanistan. I watched that as tears just streamed down my face, thinking of the sacrifice that these brave men and women have made over the years to defend and protect my freedoms. And I proudly stand beside people like that. And then I remember in the seventh inning stretch, an Air Force sergeant came up and he sang, "God Bless America." And in that moment, something flipped with me, and I became disturbed in the reality that as this sergeant was singing "God Bless America," I was just overwhelmed, where I said it out loud, probably sitting by myself, but I remember saying it out loud, "He already has. God has blessed America." And I want to share a few verses of scripture this morning from Luke chapter 12. And in this scripture, Jesus is talking to his disciples about being prepared and stay doing what you're supposed to do. Don't do what you're not supposed to do. Be prepared for this, for the coming of the Son of Man. And in these two verses, verses 47 and verse 48 of Luke chapter 12, is where I want to draw our attention. He says, "And a servant who knows what the master wants, but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out those instructions, will be severely punished. But someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required." The Bible teaches that to whom much is given, much shall be required. And if that's the case, then I believe that God expects an awful, awful lot out of America. So with that in mind, we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at America's past, we're going to look at America's present, and we're going to look at America's future. So let's begin with America's past. History tells us that in 1620, a group of Christians called the Pilgrims made their way to this land in search of establishing a new community, a new church that was completely free from the Church of England. They landed at a place that we call Plymouth Rock in Massachusetts. And that's all common knowledge. I think everybody knows that, right? But what a lot of people don't know, and what certainly doesn't seem to get taught much in the public school system, is that before they even left the boat, before they were allowed to even leave the boat, they wrote what we know today is something called the Mayflower Compact. And I want to read and I want to quote some of the first words from the Mayflower Compact. It begins with these words: "In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten have undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith a voyage to plant a first colony in the northern part of Virginia, do solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one of another covenant and combine ourselves together." Did you hear why they came? They came for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. They came to start a church where they could worship God the way the Bible says and the way their conscience says, based on the Holy Spirit living in them. That's why they came. Some people are just very ignorant, and they hear something, maybe they read something on social media, and somehow they're convinced that America was founded by a bunch of pagans and that it had nothing to do with God and it was escapement from God, but is far from the truth. America was founded for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. They were saying unashamedly that we are Christians and we search for a place where we can worship God the way the Bible says to. Someone has said that the difference between North America and South America is that the Spaniards came from South America in search of gold, G-O-L-D, while the Pilgrims came to North America in search of God, G-O-D. We are a nation built upon faith in and commitment to God. Our forefathers had a great vision and a great plan to build a great government called a republic. What's interesting is that at the conclusion of the Constitutional Convention in 1787, a young lady came up to Dr. Benjamin Franklin and said, "Doctor, what have you given us, a republic or a monarchy?" And I want you to listen to what Ben Franklin said to her, and I quote, he said, "A republic, if you can keep it." It seems that Dr. Benjamin Franklin knew a little bit of something about holding on to something good and the danger of taking it for granted and losing it. So with that in mind, we move to America's present. I love this country. I really do. Y'all know that. We have a proud history and a rich heritage, and we can do so much in this country that we can't do anywhere else. Listen, I know sometimes right now we feel a bit oppressed. We feel like we aren't as free as we used to be. There's some things that's happened in the last few years that's caused us to just think that America has lost its ever-loving mind. But there are still things that we can do in this country that we can't do anywhere else. For instance, did you hear about the lieutenant and the private and the pretty young girl that were riding on a train together? It was a crowded train, and so there wasn't a lot of room, so they were kind of crunched together, and there was this, and they didn't know the young lady, and privates don't talk to lieutenants, and lieutenants don't talk to privates, so they sat there in this awkward silence, and the train went into a tunnel, and within a few seconds, it became completely pitch black, and suddenly, you heard two distinct sounds, the sound of a kiss, and the sound of a slap, and when the train came out of the tunnel, the young lady sat there with a smile on her face. The private sat there with a straight, scared look on his face. And the lieutenant had a scowl and a red mark across his cheek. The young lady was sitting there thinking, "Oh my goodness, that lieutenant tried to kiss me and he kissed the private instead and the private slapped him." The lieutenant thought, "That dirty dog, that private kissed that pretty girl. She went to slap him but slapped me instead." And the private sat there thinking, "Only in America can I kiss the back of my hand and slap my lieutenant and get away with it." There are so many wonderful things we can do in this country. And we can talk about some of the wonderful things about our country, and there are many. But I have to be honest, I'm concerned. I'm very concerned about our country. I want to read another passage of Scripture, and it's a warning. It's a warning in Scripture that God is speaking to Solomon about the nation of Israel. But I want you to listen very carefully to these words. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 in verse 19. Again, this is God speaking to Solomon about the nation of Israel. But if you or your descendants abandon me and disobey the decrees and commands I have given you, and if you serve and worship other gods, then I will uproot the people from this land that I have given them. I will reject this temple that I have made holy to my name, to honor my name. I will make it an object of mockery and ridicule among the nations. And though this temple is impressive now, all who will pass by will be appalled. They will ask, why did the Lord do such terrible things to this land and to this temple? And the answer will be, because his people abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who brought them out of Egypt, and they worshiped other gods instead and bowed down to them. That is why he has brought all these disasters on them. The Bible clearly teaches that if we honor God, if we worship God, if we're obedient to God, that he will bless us. And that's how I started, by saying he has indeed blessed us. But if we disobey God, if we abandon him, if we seek to worship other gods, he will remove his hand of blessing. And that is precisely what happened to the nation of Israel. And I want you to hear me. I believe that is precisely what's happening to the United States of America today. Maybe some of you have heard about the New York City school teacher who was fired from her job. She wasn't fired because she was immoral or unethical. She wasn't fired because she abused children. She wasn't fired because she used a bunch of profanity and acted a fool in school. She lost her job because of how she shared her faith after school one day. It started when there was she was an early elementary teacher. One of her students was tragically killed in a car accident. His name was Alex. And the classmates were wondering what happened to Alex and what's happening to him now. What's going on? He died. Where's he at? And so the teacher tried comforting her students, and she said, I believe that Alex is in heaven. I believe that at the moment that he died in that tragic accident, that Jesus carried him to heaven, and he is safe. He is peaceful. He is comfortable. He is more joy-filled than he could ever imagine with Jesus for all eternity. But if you want to know more about what I believe, if you stay after school, I will share more with you. So she had a class of 30 students, and of course it was down to 29. 29 students stayed after school, and she began to share her faith in Jesus Christ, and she began to explain what she felt happened to Alex, that he was safe in the Lord. And then, until we reach an age of accountability, that if a child dies, that God is a righteous, a good, holy God, and he took Alex to heaven shortly before she got done. And then she shared how everybody can know how to go to heaven by trusting in Jesus for their salvation. And then she prayed with and over her class. Shortly before she got done, one of the students got up and walked out very abruptly. The next morning, that student, along with his parents, came into school, and by lunch, this teacher was fired and was escorted to her room. And in a classroom full of crying students, she cleared out her desk and entered the unemployment line. I want you to hear me very clearly. Our country is in a mess. But our country, the mess we're in, it's not because of Joe Biden. It's not because of President Trump. It's not because of Barack Obama or George Bush even. This has gone on much longer and much deeper than that. When our government said you can no longer pray in schools, as Christians, we stood by and did nothing. When the government escorted God out of our government buildings and said we can't have symbols of Christianity and the Bible and things like that, we folded our arms and said, okay. In 1973, when they legalized abortion and millions of babies were murdered, we as Christ followers stood by and did nothing. We have been on a slippery slope for a very long time, church. It's our fault. It's our responsibility. America is a great country, and I believe in that, even at her worst, she's still better than any other country on the planet. But she needs to repent. She needs to change. And that leads me to our third thought, and that's America's future. One of these days, the wrath of God is going to overflow, and he's going to say, enough. I can't take it anymore. America has to repent. America has to change. And I believe she will. But as I've said before, it won't change based on what happens in the White House. The change will happen because of what happens in your house and mine. We stood by while the government escorted God out of our country and did nothing. But it's high time that as American Christians that we stand up and escort God back into our country. Amen? I so much love our country, and I so much appreciate the freedom that we enjoy as Americans. And I love to see the symbols of freedom and liberty. I love to see the Statue of Liberty in the harbor of New York with our arm raised high as a symbol of liberty. But there's another symbol that I love even more than the Statue of Liberty, and it's called the Monument of Our Forefathers. It's the largest granite monument in the United States. It was paid for and built by Congress of the United States, but it's hidden in a residential area in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and nobody hardly ever hears about it. My wife and I have visited it. We stood at the base of it. I touched it. I stood hand in hand with my wife and a bunch of strangers, but brothers and sisters in Christ, as we stood around this monument praying for our country. It was one of the most glorious events that could take place in a setting like that. But there's another symbol of freedom that means more to me than the Statue of Liberty or even this monument of our forefathers. And it's the cross of Jesus Christ. Because it's at the cross where true freedom and liberty was made available. It's at the cross. We can be patriotic and we can love our country, but here's the deal. We're followers of Jesus first. He has to be first. It's at the cross where Jesus paid the price for your sin and mine that allowed us to experience true freedom. That's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating freedom. But true freedom comes from Jesus. So many times people make Christianity difficult. And they say they're confused. Like, what do I have to do? And so I want to paint a really clear picture this morning, because it's I believe it's my responsibility, but it's also an incredible privilege to lay this out before you. So I want to make it simple by what's been done and what is yet to be done. Done and do. Like, people say, what do I have to do? Okay, let's just talk about what's been done and what's left for you to do. First of all, you and I have blown it. That's what we've done. We've blown it. We've missed the mark. We've sinned. We've broken God's law and we've broken his heart. And that has created a separation between God and us. See, God is so holy, so just, so righteous that he can't even dwell in the presence of sin. But he wants to be with you and I. He wants to spend eternity with us. And so he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to shed his blood that pays the price for our sin. And Jesus did pay that price. He was crucified on that rustic, rugged old cross, and there he shed his blood for you and I. He paid the entire price for your sin debt and mine. But you see, he's God, And so on the third day, he arose from the dead, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and he lives forevermore. And he says, whoever will. And so he's salvation is available to all. Whoever will can come and take freely from the water of life and never be thirsty again. And what's left then is for us to acknowledge and receive that salvation. To believe that Jesus, that believe that we have sinned and broken God's law and broken his heart. And we repent, we turn from that, we turn to God and say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sin. Thank you. I don't know how I can repay you. But the best I know how, I'm going to put my trust, my salvation in your hands. I'm trusting you for my salvation from this moment forward. The most important thing we can do is simply receive his free gift. Believe that Jesus died and rose again and receive that for ourselves. As we celebrate Independence Day weekend, let's celebrate. Let's honor America, but let's honor Jesus, who brings us true freedom, true liberty. Because it's at the cross that we find that true freedom. Father, this morning I do so much appreciate being free to stand outside and shout the name of Jesus, to proclaim my love and my devotion and my worship, my heart, my trust, my future, my eternity to Jesus Christ. So thankful to live in the land that I do. God, we've been talking about it for several weeks now. And if we're waiting for somebody else to fix the problems in our country, it's just not going to happen. It's going to begin one life at a time, one home at a time. One household to say enough is enough. We're not playing anymore. We want to seek after the heart of God with everything we have. To honor God with our lives. Honor him with our families, our churches, our schools. Wherever we are, whatever we do, that we honor God with everything we have. And if there's anybody within the sound of my voice this morning that's never put their trust in Jesus and wonders where they're going to spend eternity when one day they breathe their last breath, because the truth of the matter is, one day we will. There is no guarantees of tomorrow. We have today. And one day, unless you tarry, Lord, we will all taste of that death. And if there's anybody here that's not sure where they're going to go after they breathe their last breath, I pray that today is the day that they realize their sin and their need for a Savior, and that they call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. I've broken your law. I've broken your heart. I'm really sorry. Please forgive me. Please save me. Please give me the gift of eternal life. And the scripture says that something happens in that moment. That means if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, all things become new. Born again into God's family. We're not the same as we were before. He's given us a brand new heart, a heart that beats for God. So my prayer is that If there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus today, they would do that and pray a simple prayer like that. And for us who are followers of Jesus, may we live accordingly. May we think about those scriptures. And Father, I think about some other verses from 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 11. So Solomon finished the temple of the Lord as well as the royal palace. He completed everything he had planned to do in the construction of the temple and the palace. Then one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this temple as the place for making sacrifices. At times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. Then, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. For I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. Father, there's four things that you ask of us. If my people who are called by my name will, number one, humble themselves. Number two, pray. Number three, seek my face. And four, turn from their wicked ways. May we be a people. May we be a people of God once again. God, you have blessed America. And I know you can again. And I believe it's up to us to usher that in by being a people of holiness, a people of righteousness, a people of God, a people who keep their word, a people who love, a people who spend time at your feet, a people who aren't ashamed of your name, a people who fight to bring righteousness and God back into our schools and our government buildings, into our churches, into our families, everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. May you once again bless America. May we turn our hearts to you and bless your holy name. We give this day to you. We honor you with everything, including the very breath that you've given us. Again, God, help us to leave here with some motivation and some focus to be more like you than the when we walked in this morning. Again, we ask that you would bless our time together today in this food and the fellowship. May they both be awesome. I pray this in Jesus' holy, precious, wonderful name.